Oh, Father, and reach the hearts of the individuals that are standing here before us today. Open their hearts, oh God, that the message might hit it with impact. It might larger and grow in it. Oh God, that faith might be the rule. We might walk in faith. We might rejoice in the hope of our calling. We might walk, oh God, in the victory. We might see that it's by faith that children of God overcome. Hallelujah. Oh God, speak faith to your people. Help us to lay hold of it. Help us, oh God, to live it and have it be a part of us. Now, Lord, I pray your anointing, the action of the Holy Ghost, in Jesus' precious name, amen.
You may be seated. This is the seventh of a series of sermons entitled Enter, Overcome, and Occupy. These are sermons of victory through faith and obedience, taken from the book of Joshua, where I would like you to turn to chapter 4. We are still talking about entering Canaan's land, and today we want to talk about crossing Jordan. Joshua chapter 4. Jack, will that young man next to you like to fill my cup a little, not quite overflowing, but... Joshua chapter 4. And it came to pass... Did you get those words? And it came to pass. It came to pass that you are now sitting in community chapel, saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. It came to pass you are now delivered from drugs and from sin and from all the things that you were wrapped up and bound in and from the darkness. And it shall come to pass that you shall be a bride without spot or wrinkle, singular, or any such thing. And it shall come to pass that you shall see Jesus face to face, and the whole assembly of the saints, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the men and sons of God and loved ones, Tom Barnett and all the rest, we shall all be gathered before him, singing the glory to the Lamb who was slain and has redeemed us from the earth. It shall come to pass. And it came to pass when all the people were clean passed over Jordan. Did you notice the next clause? All the people. All the people were clean passed over. Not one who stayed with Joshua, and I mean Christ, was left in the wilderness. Not one who had faith to go up and possess the inheritance stayed in the wilderness and died. Not one who had faith and so followed Joshua was left behind, but everyone clean passed over. And so shall it be with us. And it came to pass when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man. Take a representative of each tribe, that that representative might stand for the tribe and therefore represent every Israelite in that tribe. That man represented every Israelite in that tribe, so that in typology, every Israelite did what that one man did. Even as Christ is our representative, and he did what each of us shall do. And we shall deny ourselves and take up our cross and his will will become our will, and we shall be caught up, and we shall be glorified, and we shall sit in the throne with him and be married with him also. In Psalms 145:12, for just a moment, we have a scripture that points toward what God have each one of us to do as a representative of God. 145:12. Representatives to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. He will take us that we might be representatives of him to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom, of which he is king. Now, here they came up out of Jordan, every man. Christ came up out of his Jordan of death, and he also, like Joshua, of whom he is the great antitype, chose 12 men too of Israel, apostles, to be the representative of the 12 tribes of Israel. The name will be written in the foundation of the New Jerusalem. They shall judge the 12 tribes of Israel. They themselves, the apostles, are representatives of the whole nation of Israel, of the 12 tribes. And Christ came up out of Jordan and did the same, his Jordan of death. And he proclaimed and ordained that they would go forth as representatives and do what? Do exactly what's said in Psalms. Proclaim the gospel, which means the good news of his glorious kingdom that has now come nigh unto them, as is spoken by John the Baptist, and of his mighty acts. We always are at a point of his mighty acts, not of our mighty acts. Now God said, after he had clean passed over, take you out 12 men, every man a tribe, Joshua, and command ye them, saying, take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where you shall lodge this night. They were still in transition. They were still looking for a place, a city whose builder and maker is God, and they would be lodging that place. And he would have the 12 stones be with them in that place where they lodged that night, during the night. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man. There's an interesting clause here that you wouldn't think would be necessary to say. In fact, you can hardly even see how it applies. The clause, whom he had prepared. Joshua prepared 12 men to carry some rocks. Meaning that he chose them, he called them, he chose them, and he instructed them. Now, that's not such a big deal to do all that, to carry 12 stones. So I think the Holy Ghost is more interested here in the antitype than the type. He is saying that the greater Joshua, Christ, prepares us to do what he has, Joshua, the lesser Christ, has prepared them in a lesser sense to do. Whenever you see God magnifying something beyond itself, you know that it's pointing towards the greater spiritual truth. Jesus always and frequently spoke beyond the present situation. He frequently spoke of the great oath, which their minds didn't even catch. They were so busy looking at the thing in front of them, they couldn't see the more grand. Every time you look at the Word of God, don't be like the dullards in his day that don't see any more than what's written on the page. Look beyond it and see the grander and greater truth in the whole scheme of things. This is why you have to know the whole scheme of things, so that you know how to relate these things. You can see it clear at the end and the culmination. Whenever you see Israel walking, don't just see Israel walking. See spiritual Israel walking in the last days and the culmination, what God's doing, and you begin to understand the Word of truth. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan will cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan will cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. Now the waters of Jordan, I mean death, will cut off before the Ark of the Covenant. Here was a covenant between God and his people. And when the waters of death come rushing down Jordan and saw the covenant of God, they stopped and piled up in a heap. Said, we can't overflow them there. They've got the covenant of Yahweh. And even the waters must obey, even as they did Jesus on the Sea of Galilee. There are some people who are afraid to make a blood covenant with God in the communion, the covenant, to cut the covenant, as it means, kerith berith, to cut the covenant. They're afraid of making that solemn blood covenant because they're afraid they might break it. But I say unto you that it is more fearful to stand outside of the covenant of God and not be his covenant people. Without a covenant people, the waters of death will overflow you. We must be that covenant people because God's covenant secures us. He has made a covenant. When God went to make a covenant, an oath, he said, I found there was nothing in everything that I have ever made. And nothing was made but what was made by God. I found nothing that I was willing to put my covenant in. I was not saying, if man will not fail one another, I will not fail you. I could not say, if heaven and earth will not pass away, I will not fail you. I found nothing excepting myself that was trustworthy. And so because I could swear by no greater, I took an oath by my own name, my covenant name, that if God fails, if God dies, then you will fail. And I will fail in my covenant towards you. But if God will not fail, my covenant towards you will not fail. Now, don't you want to be one of his covenant people? Then you have to take the blood covenant to be a part of the covenant people. Because his blood must flow through your veins that it you might be his life, and the life is in the blood flowing through you. We must drink by faith, anatypically, the blood of Christ, or you'll have no part with him, he said, and eat his very being, that his life might be food for our soul and be in us, that he might be in us, that we might be him and he in us, we might be one. And then we're going to have to walk in that covenant with him. The waters of death will not overflow us when it sees the covenant. If we'll follow Joshua, Christ, and the priests, the ministers of God. Now, many people are so afraid of following Joshua into the river of death and through the river of death that they linger behind in the wilderness and bleach their bones. They're so afraid of going on in the power of the Spirit to die to self, and trust the whole life and ministry with God, that they stay behind in the desert and perish. But He's going on. And you're going to have to stay or go on. And you better go on with Him, because it's more dangerous to stand and watch Him go out of sight across the Jordan. How many ministers are afraid to trust the Holy Ghost that He gave him and step out and preach the sure word of God? But I got a parish to hold. But the diocese might come down on me. But the people might leave me. But my whole Lutheran church might go to pieces. But hear the word of the Lord. God has not called any minister in the face of the whole earth to keep a Lutheran church together. And that's the truth. Nor an Assembly of God church together. Nor a Nazarene church or a Brethren church or any other church. He has called you to preach the truth. And that's all. And you're going to have to be willing to trust God. It's His people. It's His program. It's His gospel. So what are you worried about? Do what God tells you to do, and let the heathen rage and let everybody else rage. Do what God says. Now, I'm predicated on that. Nobody's going to keep me out of it. I'm going to do the best of my ability what God says. And I believe if I do what God says to the best of my ability, that God will see me through and He'll see us through. But if ever I begin to feel man and not God, woe is me and woe is us. That's my feeling. That's my conviction. And I'll do it no matter what, till death do us part. He who seeks to save his life shall lose it, Jesus said. But he that is willing to lose it for my sake shall find it. So lose your life. Step out and trust God to take care of you for the future, and to lead you to ministry and provide for you and take care of you and somehow see you through. Don't sit back in the desert because you're afraid of moving on in the move and the glory of God. Now, there are skeptics that have tried valiantly to get rid of the miracle of the Red Sea and talk about that natural place where maybe the water is low at certain seasons, where they pitter-patter across to their ankles and all the rest of foolishness, but they have stuck with the Jordan. They're stuck with the same miracle at the Jordan, and they do not have an answer for it, and they're strangely silent on that subject. Anytime you try to get rid of a few miracles here by spending them away, you've got 10 more over there that you can't explain, and the ones you've explained you've made so foolish, that is terrible. Ignorance. Can you imagine? For example, they came and saw the man on the ground. Oh, well, that was just the kind. In those countries, there's some white stuff that grows on the bushes that's edible at certain times a year, and that's what it was. Can you imagine? 3.5 million people walking into an area loaded with millions of bushes full of white stuff and never notice it, camp all night long, get up, it's all dumped in the ground, and they say, what is it? You imagine? You're walking, billions of huckleberry bushes on the bushes, this one all on the ground, and you pick them up and say, what's that? 3.5 million if you can't figure it out. After brushing on them for miles. How ignorant can men be in trying to get away from the miracles of God? Verse 8. And the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them unto the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. 12 stones on Canaan's side. These are 12 stones on Canaan's side of the River Jordan, were to be a memorial that they came out of the river of death. They were placed at Gilgal, which means rolled away. Rolled away in the promised land. Now, the first type I want to bring to you is that the old generation of Israelites were baptized in the Red Sea. That was the water baptism. The New Testament says so. Baptized in the Moses in the cloud and the sea. The new generation, which never saw the Red Sea, were baptized in Jordan. That became their death. Dying to death, come the wisdom to walk in newness of life. Died of the old man. The second type I want to bring is that in the larger picture of Israel, not divided as to generations now, but just as Israel, Israel died to sin legally in water baptism in the Red Sea, and they died to sin experientially in Jordan, because after they were baptized, they still had to cross wildernesses. But now when they experientially, when they were baptized, they died to self and entered the promised land and became overcomers. The third type I want to bring to you is at the Red Sea, the old man of sin, and that was the Egyptians who came out of sin. If Egypt is a type of sin, then the Egyptians are the old man of sin. They never came out of the baptismal waters of the Red Sea. They went in and stayed there. Israel prevailed with Aaron, came out into newness of life. And they had a new life there, no longer under the bondage. The fourth type I would like to bring is that Joshua was baptized in Jordan, identifying him with his brethren. So Jesus Christ was baptized in the same Jordan, identifying him with his brethren. Because Jesus wasn't baptized under repentance because he had anything to repent of. He was baptized under repentance because he was fulfilling all righteousness in that he identified with his brethren and he was being baptized as man. That's the reason he died as man. That's the reason he prayed as man. Now here we see they took 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan, took them over, and the place they lodged on Canaan's side in Gilgal, they placed them there for a memorial. But verse 9 says something different. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests which bear the ark of the covenant stood, and they are there until this day. That is to the time that Moses wrote this, or the time that this is written, I meant to say. Not by Moses. Now, let's look at that. They took 12 stones, first of all, on their shoulder. 12. Number of heavenly completeness. The kingdom. That 12 stones represents Christ. Each man took Christ on his shoulder. He held them high. It was to be light enough to be carried on your shoulder. It was not to be a great big burden to love. Because Christ is not a burden. They would have it to be able to carry it upright on the shoulder and not be a burden to them. Because Christ will not be a burden to you. His burden is light, he said. It was held high where people could see it. The 12 stones on Canaan's side are a memorial that they came out of the river of death. And the 12 stones in Jordan are a memorial that the river was held back when they saw the covenant, ark of the covenant of the Lord. And they did not overflow them. Now the 12 stones that were placed on Canaan's side came out of the river. He did not tell you where he got the 12 stones that they put in the middle of the river. He got them from someplace. My guess is they got them from the wilderness. And brought from the wilderness 12 stones into Jordan, brought from Jordan 12 stones into Canaan. That's my guess. And here we see Christ, the stones, coming from the wilderness, because Christ was born in this wilderness of this life, brought into Jordan, into death, and died there, And then we see Christ coming out of the Jordan and being placed into Canaan, coming out of death. So we see Christ going into death and Christ's resurrection. Now as to the saints, because we also, whatever is true of Christ is true of us, you know, because we're his body. He is the stone of stumbling. Who is a rock save our God, the scripture says. But we are lively stones in the temple of God, Peter says. We're lively stones. So as to the saints being the lively stones, your 12 being the number of the kingdom of the lively stones, making up Christ, because he is the bread that came up in heaven, he says, yeah, he says, we're one loaf. You see? And so we being those stones, as to saints, the wilderness man came out of the wilderness. The wilderness man, the old man, put in Jordan and never came out again. But then the new stone and the new man came out of death, like a grain of wheat going to the ground and die. And then out comes the new germ seed of life, springing up to everlasting life, some 60, 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. And so new man came out to a newness of life. These memorial stones were memorials of the power of God. They were memorial stones of the crossing by faith. Because the others who did not have faith did not cross, they died in the wilderness. They were memorial to the faith of the people in God and the power of God to back up the faith in God. Faith moves the hand of God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. According to your faith, be so unto you. Prophesy according to your proportion of faith, and so forth, and so forth, and so forth, the scripture says. These were memorials so that when the children would ask in the future, what do these mean? You might keep the hope lively, like into the memorial of Christ at communion. This was to be a memorial of him. It was to keep lively in our hearts the truths of Christ who died for us at Calvary, that we might not forget he spilled his blood and died for us. This was also to be a memorial so that the truth would be kept alive from generation to generation. So that when they didn't, the next children did not see the power of God, they would at least be able to follow by the signs the word of God and the truths of God and know what has happened. Now the stone was on the shoulder and to indicate that they did not cross Jordan by their own power, but by Christ. They had it, each one was a representative of everyone in the tribe, and they had to take Christ with them through the river of death. Because you don't get through without Christ. And there was to be Christ for every representative of every tribe, meaning Christ for every assembly. They assembled together, each one was an assembly. And there was to be Christ for every assembly. There was a Christ for that assembly, and there's a Christ for this assembly, and each one of us must have Christ, but of course it's all one Christ. Each assembly has Christ. We are the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. But so are they the body of Christ, and so are they the body of Christ. But we are a complete body. We're not incomplete because we're not all together with them. We are complete in the body of Christ. And we are the body of Christ. But we all together make up the body of Christ as well. Verse 10. For the priests which bear the ark stood in the midst of Jordan until everything was finished that the Lord commanded Joshua to speak unto the people. It all came to pass. It happened, they stood there until the priests, the ministers of God. Now get always be looking at the future here. The ministers of God stood in the gap until everything was finished that God gave them to speak. Everything that God gave Joshua, Christ, to speak was fulfilled before they came up out of the river. And it closed off. It will come to pass. Everything he gave Christ, and Christ is not gone, you know, he's in us, still carrying on his work, will be accomplished, just like he said, before the heavens will roll up like a scroll and it's all finished. to speak unto the people according to all that Moses commanded Joshua, and the people hasted and passed over. They hasted. They made speed. And as the rivers, we get near the end, we're going to have to make haste, redeem the time, and rush on over. They begin to run. They begin to make haste. They begin to hurry. There was a goading to get past the rivers of death before they crowded up. And just about that time, when you're bowed over, you're in the fire, he'll snatch us out of the midst. We'll haste to bring forth the man-child. The ministers stood in the gap, even as Christ, our high priest. The Joshua stood in the gap, and the high priest. Christ is our high priest. We are the priests of God. We are a kingdom of priests, and kings and priests, the scripture says. Now, verses 9 and 10 show Joshua staying in Jordan with the priests, staying in the river of death to erect the memorial of God's power of life out of death for him, and therefore for Israel. Kings and priests, the scripture says. Now, verses 9 and 10 show Joshua staying in Jordan with the priests, staying in the river of death to erect the memorial of God's power of life out of death for him, and therefore for Israel. Joshua, Christ, stayed in the river of death to erect the memorial of God's power of life out of death. I mean the resurrection of Christ. For us, for him, but resurrected not only for him, but for us, because he arose, we shall arise also, it says in Romans 6. Now Jordan, the word Jordan, comes from the Hebrew word Jor and Dan. Jor means spreading, and Dan means judge. Christ stayed in Jordan until all clean passed over. This speaks of the complete sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Complete provision was made. Now the 12 stones that were placed in Jordan were not said to each be a man's burden. Those that would go out would each to be what one man could take on his shoulder. Coming in, it didn't say anything about that they would be carried on the shoulder or to be that size. Now, to be a memorial in Jordan, to be a memorial in there, are the two possibilities. One is that the stones need to be big and piled high enough to be able to be seen to be a memorial, and therefore they need to be bigger stones. Possibly they were pulled in out of the desert by oxen and piled high. Possibly they were carried by many Israelites and stacked up so that you could see them sticking out of the top of Jordan to be a memorial, or could see them under the water in a clear when the water is clear. Or, if that is not true, they were buried, they could not see them, they were under there, but they were still a memorial of truth of that which was buried and dead and hidden there. Or, the third possibility, there is another one, because the River Jordan does not stay at the same height, is that at its height, it would represent that which is buried and dead, and at the lowness of its ebb, you would be able to see the truth of it for the fact that it's there. You see, it would show the truth of it. But it was to be a memorial, though. In verse 13 we read, about 40,000 prepared for war passed over before the Lord under battle to the plains of Jericho. There were 40,000 prepared. You get that? 40,000 went to Bible college and got prepared and had the sword of the Spirit in their hand. And they went forth to battle, not to pick daisies. Because we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We're fighting a death struggle with principalities and powers. We have on the whole armor of God. They went on. They went on being prepared for the word of God. Verse 14. On that day, when they brought him over, and the memorial was raised, and 40,000 went forth prepared for war, the Lord magnified Joshua, that is Jesus, in the sight of all Israel. And they feared him as they feared Moses all the days of his life. And so God spoke to Jesus in the midst of Jordan, said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him," and magnified him, and sent his own Holy Spirit in the visible form of a dove, which is not a hawk, does not kill, but his big lovely eyes, and is white and pure and docile, down to show that he magnified him, and thundered out of heaven the words of God of his Son, and the people feared him all the days of his life. They knew the Spirit of God was upon him. He was someone special. He was, in fact, some got the glimpse that he was indeed the Christ, the Messiah that was to come. Now when the priests, the ministers, which are the last to leave Jordan, it says in verse 18, it's kind of interesting, the Holy Ghost choosing these words, when they lifted the sole of their foot up out of the Jordan, the sole of their foot, as the last minister came out of the Jordan, and he lifted the sole of his foot out, the Jordan came back. That's what it said. It made a point out of, when the sole came out, the river came back. There's a plain words about the soul if you want it. But this represents judgment. There are judgments to those that are not in God's church. Not a part of his covenant people, his assembly. When the covenant people had clean passed over and came out of it, there was no more covenant in Jordan, the river of death came right back. Outside of that, you have nothing to hold to. And if you're outside of God's elect, outside of his covenant people, the river of death will pass over you. Now the law was written in stones, and that law written in stones, typologically, was lying beneath Jordan, out of sight. But the law written in our hearts, the new stones, the law written in our hearts took its place. And so they came up out of Jordan to the other side. The 12 patriarchs now lie with a finished work. And the 12 apostles of the Lamb come up out of their death and take their place in the new covenant. This side of Christ's river of death is Jordan. This side of Jordan, we have the 12 apostles representing Israel as the patriarchs on the other side. But the old memorial stones, historically now, if you go back to that land and you would look by Jordan, you'll find that they are gone. The memorial there is no longer there. There's no longer the circle at Gilgal. But there are new spiritual memorial stones that replace them as our milestones today. We're not needing the old stones now. We're living now in the new Joshua with spiritual. So we don't need the law written in tables of stone. We have them written in the fleshly tables of our heart. We have now new spiritual milestones. Amen. The new witnesses of God's power are all about us and in us. And the result of coming across Jordan is seen in the next chapter in verse 1. 5:1. And it came to pass again, when all the kings of the Amorites, which were on the side of Jordan westward, and all the kings of the Canaanites, which were on by the sea, heard that Yahweh had dried up the waters of Jordan from before the children of Israel until we were passed over, that their heart melted, neither was there spirit in them any more because of the children of Israel. Can you imagine them standing up, Bill, on the plateau and from the hills, and looking down, and there you they see 3.5 million Israelites spread before them, and some of them are saying, boy, they're going to have a time, those little kiddies, and all the oxen and the sheep, they're going to try to get all of them through Jordan, 3.5 million of them, tents and luggage and wagons. It's going to turn those things over. Those kids are going to drown. The sheep, they can't take all that across. They're going to have a catastrophe. And all of a sudden, the priests come out with the trumpets and the ark of God, and they line up, and there's the ark, and there's the priests, and there's Joshua. They blow the trumpets, and they start to march, and the feet begin to come in, and the soles of the feet begin to hit the water, and it begins to roll. And the next foot hits the water, and step at a time, you notice? They say, oh no, Lord, you get it all rolled back for us. Oh no. So roll. Step and roll. Step at a time. It rolled back. They watched the water divide. You know how wide that must have been? And the water kept coming down and piling up and piling up and piling up. And God held the other water right there. And they walked across all the day long, wagons and children, men, by the thousands and thousands times 10,000s. And you can imagine consternation. You can imagine the runners running back and telling what happened. You can imagine the difficulty of believing it. You can imagine more people running out and the horses and everything and the racing out and crowds of people all up in the hills watching the water back, and here they come across and the spirit was gone. God is with these people. Our God don't do things like this. We're doomed. Brother, I'm trying to tell you something. God's causes the dry bones to come out of the valley and breathe in the breath of life, and they stand upon their feet an exceeding great army, and they shall say, who has seen such things? And a nation be born in a day. They're going to know that God's power is with us, with his gifts and his people. When we finally get to a place with Christ in us, and we've got 10,000 times 10,000 of Christ that are spread abroad upon the earth, and the power of God is in us, his words in our mouth, and the signs are following them that believe, brother, the world's going to be shaken. And they're going to lose spirit. Know that God is in us. God has promised it so. A mighty army. We're going to see things that the world has never seen. We've already seen, you know, we rejoice because we've seen, you know, legs grow out, and we've seen cancers heal. We've seen eyes, you know, people who couldn't see well see. We've seen other miracles in our day. Brother, when this happens, you're going to see things that we've never seen. And the history of the world hasn't seen. God's going to have one big final cataclysmic move of God and show forth his mighty arm before he takes his people home. Amen. Now, what is the first thing that they did after crossing Jordan and erecting a memorial? Verse 2 tells us, at that time the Lord said unto Joshua, make thee short knives and circumcise again the children of Israel the second time. Now he didn't mean circumcise the same people, because verse 5 says, now all the people that came out of Egypt were circumcised. But all the people that were born in the wilderness by the way as they came forth out of Egypt, them they had not circumcised. So when he says Israel the second time, he's carrying on the type of Israel as a unit. But it means the new generation. You see, the new generation has to be a covenant people too. Each one has to be a son of God for himself. God has no grandsons. Each one has to be a son of God. You cannot sit here and say, well, my folks are wonderful Christians, therefore I'm all right. That's okay at the age of accountability. But once you know enough to say that, you have to be a son of God for yourself. See? Don't trust in community chapel. You better trust in the relationship you have as a son of God for the inheritance of your father. The inheritance is the son, not two buildings and people in them. We're going to talk about this aspect, the seat of the covenant and so forth, next week. They came across Jordan because they believed the word of God. They followed Joshua and the priests. They were obedient, and they moved out by faith, and they entered the land. And now we're going to talk about having entered, about overcoming the land. But to even enter into the promises that God has for you, we must step out by faith and obedience and get behind Joshua and follow him right on in. Hallelujah. Are you ready? Can we go up and take the city? All right. Let's do it. Amen. Let's do it. That doesn't mean on Sunday morning from 12 to 1. That means Sundays from 10 o'clock until the following Sunday to 10 o'clock. Week by week. Amen. Every day in your life. Cross Jordan. Get the job done. Let's go in and obtain the promises God has for us. Amen. Amen. There's one young girl I know who's moving in. Praise God.